Carmela, someday I want to go to Calabria, Italy.
I know you do, but how come?
Well, because I want to see my family and the roots of where my family came from.
Nice. Can I come?
Yes, of course. And today we're going to taste a red wine that comes from that area of Italy.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, should be fun. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe. I don't know what I'm doing. Your sommelier of reasonably priced wine. And this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced. That means under $20 and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who love wine and want to expand their wine horizons and learn a bit more in a fun and unstuffy way.
I love it.
Okay, so if that sounds like you, then you're in the right place.
That's right.
And if it doesn't sound like you, you're
get
still
out.
No, you're
out.
Still in the
you're
right
done.
Place. No, you still
fired.
Stay. And also, we invite you to taste a Ciro or some other wine that you like along with us while you listen along as a fun way to be part of the podcast.
Okay, so what's the name of this podcast?
It's called Italian Wine Adventure Number 7, Ciro.
Oh, it does say Ciro, because I was like, how are they going to know what to drink? But it's in the
name.
Title.
It's in the
okay,
name. It's
okay,
in the name.
Just wanted to be sure.
Okay, and we're proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
What if I said something different? One of these times.
Well, like, that would be a lie.
Dorky.
No, well, that is true. No. So I guess it would be a lie to say that Decanter said that, but
right,
it would
right.
be a truth in that it's true.
I mean, that would be kind of, would that make
that
you
would be
feel
awesome.
Bad if somebody
no,
called make you
me,
dorky?
It, no,
they're like,
I feel awesome.
Well, tell me again, and I'm going to fill it in this time and say dorky.
Who call us fun, irreverent,
dorky,
and entertaining. Okay. Carmela, today I'm super excited because we're back after taking a week off.
Wow. And don't you like taking weeks off?
Yeah. I mean, we went to Walla Walla. It was super fun. We drank
really
some wine. We saw some family that comes from Calabria, or at least our backgrounds come from Calabria. And today we're going on another Italian wine adventure.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's been a while since we've been on one of these Italian wine adventures. But we wanted to go back after spending time with family and go back to the roots. And this time we are traveling to my homeland.
Whoa. I'm excited.
Yeah. And in fact, both sides of my family, I don't know if that's usual or unusual, but both sides of my family are from the same place. It's in the southernmost province of the Italian mainland called Calabria.
Interestingly enough, my mom's parents are both from the same area too. So maybe it was that generation too. Not to say you're my mom's generation. So
now, for those of you who don't know, Calabria is often called the toe of the boot of Italy, but it's really like the toes and the ball of the foot of Italy, where Basilicata is the arch and Puglia is the heel.
That's right. The Achilles.
How about that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now the wine we're tasting today is called Ciro, which is not very well known outside of Italy. And just for a quick pronunciation lesson, the wine is spelled C-I-R-O, and the O has an accent on it, which makes it a little bit confusing. In Italian, when the letter C is followed by an I or an E, it makes what kind of a sound?
Well, it's C-I is chi, and C-A is che.
That's right, but the C makes a ch sound, right? Like in the English word check. Right? But interestingly enough, when an Italian word has a CH, that's actually pronounced like a K. That's right. So,
it's a hard C.
So one of my pet peeves, when you say bruschetta, but you pronounce it bruschetta, I slowly die inside.
Oh my God, you just cringe. You have that cringe effect.
And that actually just happened to us in Walla Walla, where I was like, she was like, the waitress was like, bruschetta? And I said, yes, we'll have the bruschetta. She said, okay, bruschetta.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, man.
You're like, one more time?
Man.
Say it again. If you say it one more time.
Woo. Okay, but back to Ciro. Because this short word only has four letters, but two syllables. And so it's a little bit weird to pronounce. I had to look it up. Is it Ciro or Ciro? It's like Cheeto. It's like saying the word Cheeto, like, you know, those little treats that get cheese all over your fingers.
Nobody knows what Cheetos are? Is that what you think? I mean, you just explained what a Cheeto is to a bunch of people.
Okay. All right. That wasn't nice. No,
some
wasn't.
People might not know.
No, I hope I'm getting the pronunciation right. If I'm getting it wrong, please let me know. But I did look it up and tried to find, there's even a video of some guy, Ciro.
Okay.
Anyway, so Ciro is a red wine and it's considered the flagship wine of Calabria.
Ah.
And it's mostly made from a grape called Gallioppo.
Oh, Galliopogon.
Okay, now that's another tricky word to pronounce. Ooh, it's spelled this way.
You want me to try and spell it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think it's probably G-A-L.
Mm-mm.
Hmm. Say it again.
G-Galliopo.
Oh, G-A-G-L-I.
Mm-hmm.
O-P-O.
P-P-O. Yeah.
Okay, two P's.
Yeah. Now, the one interesting thing is that G-L-I combination is actually really hard for English speakers to say because we don't have a similar, it's a glottal. We don't have a similar kind of sound in our language. Mm-hmm. And so the best way I can explain it for English speakers is it's sort of like saying the word glee.
I was going to say gleek. Like yeah. When you gleek at somebody.
But you let the G get stuck in your throat. So yeah. Instead of glee, you go glee, glee. Yeah. It's weird.
Like when you kind of, you know, when you gleek, when people do that, like, oh, you just gleeked at me.
No,
like,
nobody knows. Now, people know what Cheetos are, but nobody knows what gleeking is.
Do you know what gleeking is?
I know what it is. It's like you're having something sweet and sour and a little spit comes out.
Yeah, and you go, oh my like God, you just gleeked out. At me. Yeah, it's is that weird. Like an 80s word? Okay. Or like an Urban Dictionary and find out.
But galliopo. Okay. Yop. And I'm galliopo. Still not quite pronouncing it right because I can't get that G-L-I
galliopo.
Yeah. Okay. So now the area that Chiro comes from is supposed to be really beautiful. I've never been there, but it's on the very southern coast of Italy and it's on the Ionian Sea, kind of between Italy and Greece. Mm. And I think proximity to the sea is important because this area of Italy gets real hot in the summer and the sea helps to cool things down just a skosh. And also what I love about these episodes and about wine in Italy in general is that there are so many different types of wine in Italy. Mm. Most of which, you know, the average person, including us, and in even the above average wine drinker will never have heard of. In fact, in Italy, there are about 350 different wine varieties.
Wow.
So the fact that we're only on Italian Wine Adventure number 7 means that we haven't even scratched the surface.
So people, you are going to be having us for a long time.
Exactly. You think
like it or not.
You better like these adventures because we're going to go on a lot of them.
And we're going to be really old. Yeah, we're done.
Exactly. And what's also fun is Carmela and I have never had this wine before. Mm-hmm. So this will be really fun. It'll be exciting. We're going to try a wine from Southern Italy, from Calabria, from my homeland. And we have never tried it before. So that's kind of fun. So we're going to learn a little bit more about Chiro and the specific Chiro wines that we're going to drink in this episode, and then we're going to taste and rate these wines. But first,
we got to do our shameless plug.
That's awesome. So first, thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, now would be a perfect time to just press that little subscribe button.
Click right? It. Click it or ticket. Click no, it there's or no ticket. Ticket.
That's
there's
right.
No
ticket. It's super easy. It's just touch
right,
it.
Right.
Touch
just
it.
Get that index finger out and ooh.
That's right. And a huge and a huge thank you to all of you who've already subscribed. And another great way to support us for free is to leave a rating review on our website or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're allowed to do that. And in fact, you know, what I would really love, what Carmela and I would really love is maybe share this episode with someone you love. Somebody who's from Italy.
Is this
somebody
who you're supposed to tell?
No, we haven't even gotten there yet. Oh, but maybe you just want to do a little share.
Sharing is caring.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. And maybe then people will go, hey, I really like this. And this is really cool. And thank you for thinking of me today, my friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What if they're like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Why did you share this with me? This is a burden.
Do you hate me? Do you hate me?
What did I do? What did I do?
No, they would never say that.
They would not. No.
Yeah, no. It's a good opportunity for you to share love.
I love that.
Yeah. And you can also follow us on Instagram at The Wine Pair Podcast. You can visit our website at thewinepairpodcast.com where you can leave us a message or grab our show notes. And back to what you're saying, Carmela, as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about The Wine Pair Podcast. And so when you hear the word cheers, which you may hear because that's something that people say when they drink.
But wait.
Why would cheers be a good opportunity on this one?
Well, because it sounds like
Chiro. Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chiro. Carmela, are you ready to learn a little bit more about what the F Chiro is?
I cannot wait.
That's right.
Tell me. Fill
Chiro,
me in.
Chiro wine is typical of many European wines, especially from Italy and France and Spain, that are, again, named from the area that they come from rather than the grape, which we've already talked about. So Chiro is made from a little-known wine grape, at least outside of southern Italy, called Galliopo. Mm. And for a wine to be called Chiro, it must be from the designated DOC area of Chiro in southern Italy, and a red wine must be made out of at least 80% Galliopo, while a wine
Italians are hyper.
I know.
If that's how they talk.
Well, a white wine from Chiro must be made from 80% Greco Bianco.
Oh, but we're not doing white.
We're not doing white. We're okay, doing the red.
But from Ciro does have a white wine.
Yeah, and it would still be called Ciro.
Okay.
Which can be confusing too.
But a different grape.
Is it the red Ciro Rosso or Ciro Bianco? Oh. You have to know.
Okay.
Okay.
I love it.
Now, for the red wine, the last 20%, so only 80% has to be Gallopo, but the last 20% has to be from a certain set of approved grapes. And only 10% of that blend can be from Barbera, Sangiovese, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and or Merlot. So it can't be more than 10% of any of those grapes.
Okay.
So
then what's the other 10%?
Well, it's other grapes that we probably have never heard of.
Okay.
How about that?
Fillers.
Yes, filler grapes.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Calabria is a super old area of Italy, and like a lot of southern Italy, it's been conquered and reconquered by lots of people that weren't Italians. Mm. And it's been ruled by lots of different cultures over time. Now, this is interesting. It's thought that the Greeks were likely the ones who brought winemaking, as we know it today, to Calabria more than 3,000 years ago.
Wow.
And this may be the oldest wine in the world still produced today.
Really? Yeah. This particular
wine? This particular wine may be the oldest continuously made wine in the world.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Now, what's also amazing, I think people kind of like, Italy is always a little bit confusing because it's kind of tilted in a funny way. And so if you look on a map, the area where Calabria is and Ciro is actually really close to Greece. Mm. And the link, so the link between Greece and Calabria is actually really strong. Mm-hmm. Now, one legend says that Ciro is the wine that the Greek gods would drink during the ancient Olympic Games.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Special.
And, yeah, exactly. So it's a god's drink. How about that? It's the drink of the gods.
It's a reasonably priced
drink of the gods.
Right.
It's not often that you get to drink a drink of the gods.
No.
Right? Like, how often does somebody say, by the way, this is the drink the gods drank?
Wow.
How about that?
This is, like I said,
special. You don't get that. You don't get it.
No.
It's special. Wow. Now, and the province of Calabria that Ciro is in is called Crotone.
Oh my god.
And that was, it was called Croton by the Greeks.
Like a crouton?
Yes. In 710 BC. So this is an old place. This is an old place. Well, you may make fun of it.
I'm not.
They call it crouton and all that kind of stuff.
That'll just make
you remember.
But this
is the place where the drink of the gods was made, and it was the Greeks were
there. Which gods?
The gods.
Oh, wow.
You know, the Greek gods.
Yeah, I know. Why not? I'm just wondering which ones. Like Hermes, Poseidon.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this area of Italy is very poor, like a lot of areas of southern Italy.
Still.
Yep. And overwhelmingly focused on agriculture and some tourism. Mm. And that's why many Italian Americans, like those from our family, you know, came from places like Calabria, because they were trying to leave and find better opportunities. Okay, right. But back to the wine. There are actually 5 official designations for Ciro Rosso. There's Classico, Superiore, Classico Superiore, Riserva, and Classico Riserva.
Wow.
And Classico and Classico Superiore are actually regions. So that's always a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. And the regions with those names in Italy are considered the most ancient, the most traditional, and usually the best of the Ciro wines.
Okay.
And then Riserva is actually it's a name used for wines that are supposed to be of higher quality, and they're usually aged longer before the release. This is true of all Riserva, if you see that in a wine. And Ciro, Riserva wines must be aged for 24 months before they're released.
Wow.
So there you go.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, is this a wine, though, that you would cellar for a while? Do we know? Are you going to get into that a little bit?
No, it's a good question. So a lot of times, and we'll find this out, a lot of times Ciro is not oaked.
Okay.
So I think if a wine is not oaked, sometimes it's not awesome to cellar for very long. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
But Ciro is described as a powerful red wine. So we'll see how powerful. Sometimes it's even called the Barolo of Calabria, which we'll see if that's an overstatement. It tends to be moderately high in alcohol, some good acidity, and some tannin. And the flavor of the wine is sometimes described, and this would be typical probably of a wine that's been made the same way for a long time. It's described as earthy with red fruits. Mm. And they're also sometimes, because of where these wines are made and how they're made, they're rustic. They're described as rustic wines, probably because they're made in the same way they've been made for decades and years and hundreds of years.
Right.
And like all Italian wines, they are meant to go well with Calabrese cuisine, which is known for being a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this, but there is this well-known Calabrian chili. It's a little red chili. Mm-hmm. And our relatives, when they came over, they brought some of these little red chilies, which is pretty hot.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a famous spreadable sausage that you've heard of. I'm looking at Carmela and telling you she's heard of it, called Ndugja.
Oh.
Which is a spreadable sausage, and it's made with that
spreadable sausage.
Yeah, and the pepper is in that.
Huh. Yeah. I never heard of a spreadable sausage, I don't think.
Well, you look it up. Look it up.
Okay.
No, but like in a restaurant, look for Ndugja. It's N-D-U-J-A, Ndugja,
okay.
And it's a type of sausage, and it's made with these hot chili peppers.
Is it cooked already?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. And by the way, we have like links to these, to articles that we've used as references today that give more information on the wine and the food. So you can go over to our website, you can find this episode, and then you click on the show notes and you'll get all that stuff. So today, actually, Carmela, we're going to talk a little bit more about the wines that we chose for this episode, but we have two Clásicos and one Clásico Superiore.
Mm.
So I think that's a good mix.
Okay.
So how about we learn a little bit more about the wines that we chose?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. These wines of the gods.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so special. I feel so like royal to me.
Carmela, you would be special even without that.
Wow.
But with
thanks.
It, you're like
I'm
a
superiore.
Goddess. You're a Clásico Superiore.
See what the wine does to you?
See, yeah.
See, there you go.
Okay. So as usual, all the wines we've chosen for this episode are under $20. However, I will say that Chiro is not the easiest wine to find.
Hmm.
I found some limited amounts of it on wine.com, mm-hmm. so you can find it there. But even like Total Wine or BevMo, like you probably have trouble finding
really?
It there.
Okay.
Yeah, what you really need to do is you need to find a really good wine shop that has a good Italian wine section. And that may mean finding a place in your city that caters to Italians.
Hmm.
So maybe look for a place that's in a, you know, where more Italians might
right,
hang
like
out.
A Little Italy, if you're one of those type
that's
of
right.
cities.
You might find a Chiro there. And you can always go to a wine shop and ask them to order it for you.
Sure.
Or you can look for wine retailers online who will ship to your area, of course, right? Other than wine.com. So I do apologize this time around for having a wine that's not super easy to find, but I think it's important to know this wine. And I think because it's a classic Italian wine that maybe everybody doesn't know, but you know, a lot of Italian Americans, a lot of people who immigrated, whether it's in America or Argentina or New Zealand or whatever it is, a lot of Italian immigrants left from Calabria. So this is part
well,
of their background.
And the other thing, and this is on another note, but if it's being compared to a Barolo,
yeah.
and it's reasonably priced,
sure.
it might actually be worth finding too. So we're going to see if we think that this could be like a, I don't want to say a substitution for
no,
it.
No, you can't substitute Barolo.
No, but just to say, if you want, if it's something that's more affordable, that is similar.
Totally.
Might be interesting.
Yeah. So we're going to find out. We'll let you know.
Okay.
We'll let you know what we think.
Okay.
The first wine we're going to be drinking today is called Barone Capuano Chiro Rosso Classico. And it is from 100% Gallioppo grapes. And it's a 2019. And on the website, Barone Capuano, they say that the Capuano family has been making wine there for over 13 centuries.
Holy cow.
13 centuries.
That's crazy.
Come on.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They may know the gods.
Oh, my
they
God.
They may have talked to... No,
oh, gods. My God. Oh, my God.
They may have talked to the gods. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Now, they also say that they're organic, and that's not a huge surprise to me, because if they've been making wine for 13 centuries, they've probably been making wine the same way. And by the way, the traditional way of making wine is organic.
Yeah.
Because
right.
they weren't
back
using
then, they didn't have
artificial
a bunch
pesticides.
Of stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll find that in these maybe more traditional places where they make wine and when they're more rustic, you're just naturally going to find that that they are organic wines because they don't use, again, the modern chemical fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because
it just happened organically.
So we kind of think of organic as kind of this new thing, like, oh, it's kind of hit. It's ancient.
Right.
Right? It's the opposite. It's actually going back to the roots.
More traditional.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is something new and cool. I mean, it's cool, but it's not new. And then I also say that finding out a ton about these wines is pretty hard, and they're very rarely reviewed by major reviewers. And so we're going to be a little brief in some of these descriptions. So the next wine we're drinking comes from what may be the most well-known winemaker in the area, and they're called Librandi. And we're drinking a Segno Librandi Rosso Classico, and this is also a 2019. And I think this is the wine that you will find most easily in places like wine.com. Librandi makes a lot of wines, and they make a lot of different types of wines, and they're a pretty big producer for Calabria. Hmm. And the Librandi family has been making wines for four generations. So some history there, four generations, not bad, not 13 right. centuries, but it's, you know, right. there you
it's
go.
A little bit of time. For sure.
Now, what I found out about this wine, it looks like it's aged in stainless steel and then in the bottle. So to back to your question, I don't think this wine has oak on it. We're going to find out. And so I would say it's probably not going to age for a super long time.
Okay.
And also the winery says that this wine can be drunk in the first 3 to 5 years.
So not bad.
Yeah. So another nice thing about it, sometimes you just want a wine that you can pick up off the shelf and drink. Mm-hmm. So if this is a good wine and it's inexpensive and it's relatively easy to find and it tastes great, well, there you go, right? And then you don't have to let it sit in your cellar. Exactly. The website also says that this wine should be served just below room temperature. Now, we're going to serve them at room temperature. So I haven't put them in a fridge for a few minutes, but we'll see. But usually
our basement's kind of cold.
It is kind of cold. But an unoaked red wine that sometimes will be, you can serve it a little chilled or not quite at room temperature, like cellar temperature. Mm-hmm. Now, the last wine we're going to drink is from the Scala Winery, and it's called Scala Ciro Rosso Classico Superiore. And it's also a 2019. So they're all 2019s.
Oh, wow.
And I really like the look of the bottle of this wine. It's kind of this retro-y 60s kind of hip look. And this is one I actually tried to hunt down. I actually did try to find it.
How come?
Well, because it looked cool and it's one that...
Nobody recommended it to you.
Well, I saw it on a lot of websites. Okay. And so the wine shop in Seattle, where they have a good Italian wine selection, had it. And so I kind of hunted it down. Now, this wine, like all the others, is, again, 100% Gallioppo. And because it's a Classico Superiore, it is the most expensive of the bunch, but it's still under $20, so that's really nice. Now, according to the description, the grapes come from a vineyard called Franza, and the ownership of this land goes back to the 17th century. And this area evidently was cultivated with olive trees and citrus groves, and it only became a vineyard in 1965. So there you go.
Wow.
And the grapes are also organically farmed. And then from other information that I got online, the property has been in the Scala family for 200 years.
Oh,
so there you go.
Oh.
This wine is aged in concrete tanks.
Oh.
So again, no oak.
I think we're gonna like this.
Yeah, there's no oak on this wine. So it'll be interesting. Is it like one of those kind of like Cabernet Franc or, you know, Pinot Noir, where it's a little bit of a lighter.
Softer.
Now, again, the description of the wine says it's bold. So
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah,
okay.
We'll see. Concrete tanks are supposed to be, you know, a lot of times you'll hear about stainless steel and a lot of times you hear about oak. You know, I don't think you hear as much about concrete. And so concrete tanks are supposed to be super neutral in flavor. They're also supposed to be very friendly economically and for the environment. Because the temperature is easier to control in them. So that's a little note.
Mm.
But I think that's enough information, Carmela. I think it's time to drink some wine.
Sounds great.
What do you say?
Great. I'm ready.
So we're going to take a quick break. And if you have wine to drink or something similar and you're not driving, why don't you open it up and try it along with us?
Woo!
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. This is the Baroni Capuano Ciro Rosso Classico. It's from Calabria, Italy, as we've been talking about. It's a 2019. This is only $11.99 at Esquin Wine Merchants, which is, again, as I was saying, this is a well-known kind of big wine shop in Seattle. And so they have these wines. 13.5% alcohol. As far as I know, 100% Gallioppo.
Okay.
So what are you smelling?
Well, let's first talk about the color.
I mean,
it's quite light. It almost has like an orange hue to it.
You are right. It's kind of orangey. It's a light red. It's almost Pinot-y, but maybe not as bright as a Pinot.
Right.
I agree. A little bit more browny or orangey.
But when
than
you
a Pinot.
Swirl it, I mean, you can see through it practically.
Oh, yeah. It's
you know?
Light.
Mm-hmm,
it's light.
Mm-hmm.
What are you smelling?
Well, right out of the gate, I got some tart cherry.
Mm-hmm,
kind of,
for sure.
It almost smells a little young, but I think it's just like an underripe kind of tart red cherry. Maybe a little charcoal, too.
Charcoal. I like that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
A little barbecue-y going on? I don't know. What about you? What else?
Yeah, a little smoky, a little like a little wood smoke.
Okay.
A little bit of wood smoke, even though I don't think it's oaked.
Yeah, interesting, huh? But
and
it
a
is
little
more
bit of
smoky
earth.
Than oaky.
Yeah, a little bit of dirt in it, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just like the slightest bit of leather, just a tiniest skosh.
I'm getting that a little bit too. Just almost in the end, like the last little bit of your whiff or sniff.
Sniff or whiff.
What do you say? Sniff or whiff?
Whiff, it means you miss something.
Oh.
No, but you can get a whiff of something. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's taste it.
Hmm.
It's very tart, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's actually softer than I imagined.
Oh, though. Really?
Yeah, I don't feel like it's quite as like you're, you know, like when you have a lemon or something and you're like, ooh, you know, I kind of, the taste, I mean, the smell was very tart. I think it's softer than I expected.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm almost, it's fruity. It's got kind of a cherry or raspberry kind of fruitiness to it, but I almost feel like it's got a little tomato taste to it.
Oh, those Italians.
Do you get a little tomato taste? Like a cherry tomato?
I can get behind that, yeah.
Because it has almost a little bit of earthiness, sweetness, but a little earthiness in it.
A little tang and it's, a little bit of, yeah, it's nice.
It's pretty nice.
A little acidic.
Yeah, I can see, too, that this could be served a little chilled.
Yes.
Honestly. Yes. Like, I think if it had a little more chill on it, I think it'd be super pleasant.
Mm-hmm. And actually, this is kind of a summery tasting red wine.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, if I think about food this would go with or where, this is a cookout wine. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think, a picnic wine. Picnic. Yeah, picnic a basket.
Right. When the Italians love to picnic, especially the Southern Italians, they go to the beach all the time.
Al fresco. Do you know what al fresco means? It means you eat outside in the sun and the air and the fresh air.
A lot of times you pack a picnic.
Picnic a basket.
The other thing
is... Ciro.
Madon. No, but you know what? I wouldn't call this like a powerful wine, though. Mm-mm. Like it was saying, it's a powerful.
It's not a powerful.
I was getting a little worried it was going to be a punch you in the face one.
Yeah. I'm getting like tomato, even maybe a little watermelon on it. I don't know why.
Watermelon.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So what other foods might, you're like troubled by the watermelon.
Oh, no, but the tomato, I mean, watermelon and tomatoes are pretty different.
Yeah. Well.
Kind of.
A juicy fruit. Not a juicy fruit like a juicy fruit gum, but like a juicy fruit, I guess.
Okay.
What other food might you pair? So I think this is a picnic wine. I think it's a cookout wine, like burgers.
Right.
You know, that kind
of thing. It's a casual wine. I don't feel like it's overly stuffy or formal. I could see like a nice panini.
Panini. Ooh.
Yes.
Good.
With
pizza.
With lots of, I mean, you could do some spicy meats with it, like, you know, soprasata, you know, some of those hot, cold cut type of meats on a panini arugula.
I think you're spot on. I think when we talk about those spicy foods like that andouille sausage or whatever, perfect. Like in a sandwich, on a pizza, I could see a spicy pizza.
Yes.
This could really hold up to spicy food, especially if it was chilled a little bit.
True. And I can't, yes. And I'm envisioning this dinner now, like a pizza.
What's the dinner?
So I'm seeing this dinner. And I can see either like a meatball sandwich or a panini sandwich.
Hey, you want a meatball?
And like a pressed.
By the way, we can do that because we are of Italian heritage.
We are.
Okay?
We both
but don't
are.
Mess with us. Don't come up to us and say, hey, you meatball. Because unless you're Italian, then it's okay.
Right. We say, yeah, we're a spicy meatball.
Okay, but I'm ruining your vision. Your vision.
It's gone. It's gone.
Oh, no. Bring it back.
No. But I'm just seeing, like, you're at a, you know, having a picnic, having a meatball, like meatballs from the night before.
Hey, Polly.
Oh, my God. My God. So.
What else?
I can see a nice pizza with spicy sauce. Sausage and a nice fresh arugula salad.
Hey, Marco, bring
with shaved parm. Shaved parm and lemon juice. It would be delicious.
Wow, this is quite a meal.
I am hungry, I
guess. Okay, I think we're going to have meatball. Yeah, okay, I love it.
What
okay.
do you think? What would you have?
Totally with you. I could see this with a really nice spicy charcuterie board with like some like hard cheddar cheeses or provolone or smoked provolone would be really good. Like a smoked cheese and like spicy sausage, like soprasata or that kind of like you had said.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Or capicola, like a spicy capicola.
Right, on your charcuterie. On your antipasti.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to rate this wine. So as a reminder, on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10. 7 and above means that we're going to buy it. 4 and below means we're going to pour it down the shink. And a 5 or a 6 means we'll drink it. We'll finish it. But we might look for something else. We're not going to buy it. But we like it. We'll drink it. Okay. Yeah. So what are you going to rate this wine?
So it's tricky. Again, I'd like to be able to have a comparison.
I know, but you know, you got to just rate it for what
it
is.
And I like this. I'm curious about the other ones. And this is just a very drinkable wine for me, who's not a huge like red wine fan. I don't typically.
$11.99 too, yeah. Right?
So I'm actually going to give it an 8.
Wow.
I am.
Carmela, I'm so proud of you. I'm giving it a 7. Okay. I like it. It's solid wine. I'd buy it. I do want to see what the other ones are like.
Oh,
but,
listen to you.
But if I mean, $12, buy a few of these bottles, put them in the fridge for a minute or take them out of the cellar and serve them on a, people would love it.
Yeah, it's kind of a crowd pleaser wine.
I think people would love it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our next wine.
All right.
Okay, we are back, and we're ready to try. I don't know why I said it like back. And we're ready to try our next wine. This is the Segno Librandi Rosso Classico. It is a Ciro from Italy, Calabria. It's a 2019. It was only $14.99, and I also got this at the Esquin Wine Merchants in Seattle. But this one you can find on wine.com as well. 13.5% alcohol, 100% Gallioppo, as far as we know. And Carmela, what are you smelling?
Well, okay, so if I had been blindfolded, I may have thought this was the same wine. I think
really?
They smell pretty darn similar. There's something a little bit
I think it's a
sweeter
little,
on it.
Really? I was going to say richer or deeper.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think it's a little, yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know. It's almost a little bit of licorice to it.
Oh, I like that. And the color of the wine, it's also got this brownish or orangish tint to it, but it's darker. It's a little bit more opaque than the last one.
Yes.
A little darker.
A little bit. Not a ton, but yeah, it is a little darker.
I can see that licorice. Okay. I'm with you.
A little bit of red licorice, so it's a little sweeter to me, but I can get behind that richness too.
I also think there's a little bit more earth or dirt on this one.
Okay.
To me, I'm getting a little bit more of that, or even like leaves or forest or something.
Ah, okay. Yeah, forest would be interesting considering
Smell it a
Italy.
Little. There's something like more.
I'm getting a little potpourri too.
Oh, really? You're getting sweeter. You're getting sweeter, and I'm definitely not. I'm getting like darker.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, let's taste it and see what we think.
I don't know how to spell potpourri.
There's something really interesting about these wines. There's almost like it's got a nice flavor and then it kind of has this little pow portion to it and then it dries out. I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like the middle, like you don't get a lot of the middle taste of the wine where it's like you get this little of flavor.
I think it's a different tasting wine.
It's deeper. It's deeper and darker than the last one.
Interesting though. I mean, it's so interesting because they're different winemakers. They're all 2019s though. And they're all
same grape.
One variety.
One grape.
I mean, one grape.
One grape,
one
yeah.
grape.
And they're all from the same area, too.
Yeah.
And in fact, these two have been classicos. So they're from...
They could be neighbors.
They totally could be neighbors. 100%.
So it would make sense. I mean, there's just some little details that would change the flavors.
Well, that right. The
amount of time.
The grapes, when they're picked, you know, where they're stored, how they're... All that kind of stuff. But this one's richer to me. It has more of a... I'm still getting similar flavors, but I feel like this one has a richer, kind of deeper flavor to it. I'm trying to think of the fruit flavor.
A little
flavor.
More intense. A little more like the power is coming through a little more. This is a little more of a formal wine, too.
Not
to say it's overly formal, but it's not as picnicky.
No, fully agree.
Yeah.
A little more plummy or something, too. Maybe this wine has a little more plum to it. It's got some kind of richer red fruit.
I'm getting a little bit of flame. Something like that on it, too.
Like match?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Like a...
Okay.
You know.
Actually, I think
you... know a... No.
Like a... Yeah. No. Okay. I like that. What food would you have with this wine?
Well, I think you could go a little more, like more of a dinner, like a dinner party. Have like, you could even do like a nice puttanesca.
Oh, that's a good call. I'm fully with you too.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more formal dinner kind of, you can still have it at the cookout, but it's not as light and lively as the last one. It's a little richer and a little deeper, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
What
a puttanesca would be good.
Puttanesca just came right to mind for some reason.
I think you'd have steak. I think you could have this with steak. I actually think you could have this with a roast. This almost feels like a little bit fall to me.
Interesting how the other one felt very summer.
Yeah, this one feels a little bit more like a stew. Like this would go great with a beef stew or a rabbit stew.
Whoa.
No, really. Wild boar.
Or horse stew.
Horse stew, but also like, you know, wild boar pasta. It would be really good. Something rich and meaty would be really good with this wine.
Right, or even just like a meat-filled ravioli.
Yeah. But I would not have, you know, it's funny because these wines are, you know, basically over the water, Ionian Sea. These are not fish wines. I'm curious about the white wines to see if they're more fish, you know, friendly. Oriented, but these are not.
Well, you're not typically going to have a red wine with most fish.
Not typically. But I mean, you know, in this area, they probably do eat a lot of fish.
Right, right.
But to me, this is more like grilled sausage, something like that kind of food.
Mm-hmm. Grilled food.
Kind of wine. Yeah. Yeah. What rating would you give this a wine?
It's so tough because see here, I think I'm going to pull back on the other one.
Oh, are you really? Okay. You're
going to right now I'm going down to, I'm giving this one the 8.
Okay. And you're going to give the last, we always hold the right to reclassify the wines.
I'm not sure that this is, I mean, like, you know, I don't really nine a lot of red wines.
No.
Just because of a preference.
Are you giving this one a 9?
No, I'm giving it but I'm saying like, I don't want to go up to a 9 on this one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You just like this one a bit better.
I do. I like them both. And the funny thing is you could actually have them for different reasons.
So I fully agree.
I could almost keep them both an 8, but I think I'm going to pull back on the other one for now.
Okay. So, and we always reserve the right to rescore. I'm sticking with a 7 and I'm sticking with a 7 on this one too.
Okay.
I'm giving them both a 7. Okay. I like them. I would buy them. I would drink them.
Yes, me too.
You know, I'm
I'd love to go there and drink them. Oh, how about that? Huh?
100,000%. But, you know, this is a very good wine. I'm not sure why I'm not giving it an 8. It's good. It's a good wine. Maybe I'll go back and rejudge this one.
Would this be fun to share with my dad? Fully. You talked about sharing.
Totally.
You know, maybe we share this with my dad.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to try this next one to see if that one is even more share-worthy.
Okay.
So let's take a break and try it. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Scala Ciro Rosso Classico Superiore, again from Calabria, Italy. It's a 2019. This one was a whole $18.99. Again, we got it from Esquin Wine Merchants here in Seattle. 13.5% alcohol. And again, 100% Gallopo. And Carmela, before we started, said, I want you to start with the smell.
Yes, because smelled it. Whoops, you smelled it and you were like, you had a real definite smell.
This is a slight bit darker even than the last one. And this one doesn't have as much of an orange hue to it. It's a little more purpley. Mm-hmm. But the first smell I got was very, very vegetal, almost like asparagus.
Mm-hmm. I would really agree.
Don't you think it smells like asparagus?
Different than the other wines.
Really, like, smells like a garden. Like you've been in somebody's garden. You kind of like picked a tomato leaf. But asparagus is what
I'm not
smelling.
Getting fruit. Yeah, I'm not really getting fruit.
Are you with me on asparagus?
Yeah, I am getting that. I'm getting that more vegetable. I'm not getting a sweetness on it at all.
In fact, like a grilled asparagus is what I'm smelling.
A little smoky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not getting like cherry or any of those kinds of flavors.
It's kind of mellowing out now, though, a little bit after it's been in the glass.
It's pretty strong. I think it's pretty strong.
It's so different. I'm getting a little bit of smoke, a little
bit of
earth.
I hope this isn't a bad wine. Like, we got a tainted wine. I don't think so. It doesn't have like that basement dog, you know, kind of like wet dog or damp concrete and cardboard kind of smell. But let's try it. Let's see what we think.
Tart.
Yeah, it tastes a little different than it smells. I almost feel like you need to cover your nose. But
that's not good.
It's tart. It's actually not as rich as the last one.
No, it's tannic.
Mm-hmm.
But the flavor dies out quickly.
It's tannic and acidic, but it's so funky smelling.
Yeah, and it's kind of odd. It's really strange. Sometimes it's kind of one of those things you're not sure you're supposed to put it in your body.
Yeah.
But it does, it's not offensive. It's just quick. Like there's not a lot to it. You would expect it to almost linger and it doesn't.
Okay, do this for me. Okay. Close your nose and drink it.
And your mouth.
No. Close your nose and drink it. Okay. And I'm going to give you a taste and see if you taste it. She can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now open your nose. Watermelon. No? You didn't get it?
No.
You don't get the watermelon. I don't know why I'm tasting watermelon. Almost like the, you know, the rind of the water. Like, you know, when you've bitten into the white
you've
part.
You've gone too far.
When you've gone too far and it's just like a skosh of the watermelon flavor, but it's kind of bitter and funky tasting.
It's so tannic too. It's just
It's super tannic and super acidic. But it's, I don't think, to me, this is not a wine. If I were going to introduce this to a wine drinker, like who's wants to be adventurous, but not sure, like if I should stray away from Cabernet or something, I would not give them this wine.
No, I think this is definitely like your wine pal, your wine partner in crime, whoever that may be, like, you know, I want you to try this and see what you're getting on it. Like that's always, like I would love for like my dad or somebody else to try. I mean, it's to be a fun thing to do with somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to
probably... I can't get grilled asparagus out of my head now.
Yeah, I'm really getting that vegetable.
It's very vegetal.
Yeah, so green again, vegetable.
I'm just not sure if it's under, like it needs to be aged a little longer. What's interesting too is we did open up these wines. And so this one had the longest time to be opened.
Right.
Which should be good for it. But it's just not, I don't know. Hmm. Any foods you would, I'm just not loving it. You would pair?
I'm not, yeah, I don't know. I mean, certainly you'd want to eat with this.
Yeah.
And you would do probably some of those bigger flavors like a steak or a burger, or, you know, just because.
But it's just not exciting me. I feel like it's more like a sandwich. Have a sandwich with something with a lot of like stuff in it so you don't have to taste the wine so much. I just don't, it's not very good.
This wine. It's very different than the other two.
And I'm super disappointed because not only was it the most expensive, but it has the coolest looking bottle. Like look on our Instagram. It's a super cool looking bottle. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of high hopes for it. Maybe we got a bum bottle. I don't know. So if you out there in listening land know anything about Chiro and this wine, like, and you think, well, the Scala is usually great and you just got a crappy one, like, let us know. But I'm not super impressed with it.
Right, right.
What rating would you give this wine?
Well, gosh, the hard thing is I'm going to have a hard time. I'm not going to really finish this.
No.
I don't know if I want to go as far down as a 4, though.
I'm close.
Really? Yeah.
I'm pretty close.
It's tough. I'm kind of bordering that 4 or 5. I'll give it, because it's from Calabria, I'll give it a 5.
I think that's where I am. If this was not Calabrian, I'd definitely give it a 4.
Right.
I'm sorry. But I got to be true to the family. La famiglia.
Yeah.
I got to, Viva Italia. Forza Italia.
My God.
Calabrese.
My gods.
Okay. The gods. This is Madonna. If the gods were drinking this, I wonder if their pee would smell like asparagus.
Ooh, I mean.
Come on.
Let's ask
You know
them.
They say that? Yeah. That sometimes your pee will smell like asparagus if you have asparagus. But would your pee smell like asparagus if you drink this wine?
Maybe.
I'm going to find out.
Oh, boy. You're going to drink whole bottle.
I'll be right back.
No, close the door.
No, I'm gross. Not going to do that, people. Come on.
Who do you think we are?
That's dumb.
That's private.
Okay. So I'm giving it a 5 as well. Which of these wines are you finishing tonight?
I think I would have the second wine.
I am too. And you know what? I'm going back and I'm giving it an 8. I'm giving it an 8.
Okay.
So our scores are exactly the same, which is really corny, but there you go. So let's talk about the taste profiles expected from Chiro.
Asparagus for Scala.
Yeah, no. So cards of wine, I don't know. There's some website. It says cherry, raspberry, red currant, roses, earth, olive, herbs. Olive is good. This one kind of tastes like olives. Mm-hmm. If oaked, coffee, spices, tobacco, leather. The Baroni Capuano Barrique's Market online says aromas of black cherry, red plum, red currants, green herbs, sage, green peppercorns, and black olive. Bold mouthfeel, earthy red berry fruit, spicy and dry tannins. Esquin says silky textured with blue and black fruits, notes of black olives and Mediterranean herbs, seamless structure, medium bodied and complex. Okay. Senio Librandi, a bottle of Italy, their rough translation, this was translated from Italian, enchanting fusion of red berry fruit aromas, cherry and raspberry, floral notes of violet and red flowers, good body, Alco, some other wine, luscious and jammy reds are medium bodied. Jammy flavors, cherry jam, wild berry jam, or dark plum. A lot of those. Plum, though. Mm-hmm. And grand wine cellars, aromas of red fruits and spice complement undertones of cranberries, wild berries, and plums. Ripe tannins on the palate and substantial body. Rich yet easygoing wine. I would agree with that. The Scala, Berman says, we were charmed and seduced by its unique smoky aroma and amaro and camphor-inflected red and black fruit flavors. Flavors of blackberry and blueberry, plum, cherry, and herbal spice.
My gosh.
Herbal
spice, maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Esquin says, this wine is soft and silky. Aromas of fresh berries and forest floor. Okay, I agree with that. Mouthful of ripe raspberry, strawberry jam, and a hint of earthiness. I didn't find a hint. I found,
I just didn't get any of that fruit.
I agree. I think maybe we got a bum bottle.
We might have.
I think we're going to have to try it again. We'll do a backup, at some point. We'll try it again. Because we may have gotten a bad bottle.
Did you just buy one?
I only bought one.
Yeah, okay.
But what is your take on Chiro?
I think it is a winner.
I think it's a winner.
Absolutely.
I think it's worth seeking out. And this could be, if you've got a wine geek that you hang out with, and they're like, oh, I want to, I love this wine and that wine.
Explore.
And I love Pinot and I love Barolo and I love this and Valpolicella. It's like, have you had Chiro? And they say, I don't even know what that is.
Say what?
They say what? And then you say, I'm going to bring it, brah. Bring it, bro. Do you even lift, bro? You're going to say, do you even lift, bro? And then you're going to bring out the chiro.
You're looking like you need to start lifting.
Yeah, you better start lifting, bro. But don't bring him the Scala. Bring him the Lebrondi.
Right.
And then actually start with the Barone Capuana.
How does it compare to a Barolo?
It's not. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different than that. It's more like a Valpolicella or something like that, I think.
Okay.
So, Carmela, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank all of you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be the perfect time to subscribe. Just hit that button.
Woo.
And it's also a fantastic time to leave us a nice rating and review on our website or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Or I don't even know if you can do it at Spotify. But anyway, it's a free way and an awesome way to support us. And we would really love it. Also love to hear from you. You can leave us a message on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. And you can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram @thewinepairpodcast.com. And the next time you listen to an episode, we want you to drink along with us. And, you know, again, reach out to one of your friends. Just send them a text message.
And touch
somebody's chiro. Chiro. Okay. Send them this episode and say,
share it.
Do you even lift, brah? Say that to them.
Or do you want to go lift?
Do you want to go lift,
brah? And then we'll have a glass of chiro.
Chiro. Okay. All right. With that, we're going to sign off. So thank you again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty chiro.
Wow.
Or true, shitty wine. Okay. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Always think too much.